ராமாய நாம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. கிஷ்கிந்தா காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 28, தி ரெயின்ஸ். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. பாலி வாஸ் நோ மோர் அண்ட் சுக்ரீவர் ரெயின்ட் இன் ஹிஸ் ஸ்டெட். ஒன் டே ராமா கால்ஸ் ஹிஸ் பிரதர் அப் டு ஹிம் அண்ட் பிகான் டு டாக் அபவுட் தி பியூட்டிஸ் ஆஃப் தி ரெய்னி சீசன். My dear boy, the rains have set in even as Sugriva told us. The clouds hide the sky from view like vast mountains. The sky draws up the waters of the sea through the innumerable rays of the sun. From the month of Kritika to Ashadha, it is big with the essences that produce the various saps in all things and is safely delivered of its issue now in the shape of the welcome rains. It is no great feat for me to go up the broad stairs of the cloud banks and with fragrant garlands adorn the feet of Narayana, a tutelary deity that abides in the orb of the sun. The clouds are lined with pale white at the edges. The evening sun dyes them red at the center. The heavy rains color them black. It seems as if the sky is covered with gaping wounds. Balms, ointments, and other potent medicines are applied to them, and white bandages keep them in place all over, but the blood stains them here and there. The sky resembles a passionate lover. It is adorned with the red sandal paste of sunset tints. The gentle zephyr is its hot sighs. The palish clouds are its attenuated frame, anemic and sickly. Sita sheds burning tears of grief at being torn from my side. Even so, the earth that gave birth to her was burnt and parched by the summer heats and breathes hot sighs of relief when the heavy rains fall on her. The winds that blow now come from between the clouds and are soft. They have passed through the banks of Kalahara flowers and are delightfully cool. The Ketiki blossoms have imprisoned them for a while and lent their fragrance. Verily, I almost think I could drink it by handfuls. This mound is now free of the burning summer heats. The Ketiki and other flowers spread a sweet fragrance around. Blown blossoms meet the eye everywhere, and the rain falls in torrents upon it. It reminds me of our friend Sugriva, who is at last free from the haunting terror of his brother Bali. He is adorned with sandal and other rare perfumes. Lovely and fragrant garlands and chaplets enhance his beauty as monkey lords pour over his head the waters of the sacred lakes, rivers, and oceans. These mountains give one the idea of Brahmacharins. The dark clouds are the black antelope skins over their shoulders. The heavy downpour of pure crystal waters is their white and glossy sacred threads. The sounding caverns are the chants of the Vedic hymns. The lightning flashes through the clouds and rouses loud peals of thunder like noble horses that gallop wildly, maddened by the cruel cutting lash of gold and screaming frightfully in agony. The golden lightning that blinds the eye from the midst of the dark mass of clouds recalls to my mind the picture of my beloved Sita carried away by force on the lap of Ravana. Black clouds lie thick all around. The moon, the stars, the planets, and the quarters are clean blotted out. This is a favorite season for those whose beloved is by their side. This is an eternity of hell for those that are torn away from their sides. Behold the jasmine creepers on the hill slopes, drenched by the rain and putting forth their crop of flowers in joy at the approach of the rainy season. Do they not remind you of ardent lovers who have been long away from their beloved? They have lived on the expectation of meeting them during the rains. Tears of joy course down their cheeks at the sight of their mistresses, and they laugh wildly in the madness of their joy. Alas, these sights do but intensify my poignant grief. Now is the dust laid down, cool breezes blow around, heat, perspiration, and other discomforts of the summer are things of the past. Kings have recalled their expeditions from enemies' country. Travelers to distant lands are hurrying back. The swans fly towards Lake Manasa to escape the dread rains. The chakravakas are mad with love and seek their mates. The ceaseless rains have rendered the roads impassable to man, beast, or conveyance. Behold the clouds as they spread through the sky, bright in some places and dark in others. They remind us of the sea, waveless and calm, where it is girdled by rocky reefs. Cataracts and torrents flash and roar, here hidden under a carpet of flowers, there divers hued with the beds of ore they pass through, and wafting the mad cries of the peacocks. The luscious jambu fruits, black and smooth like bees, are eagerly sought for by all. Mangoes, many-tinted, cover the ground, brought down by the fierce winds. Like war elephants of mountainous bulk, the dun clouds rush about and roar. The lightning flashes are the flags and pennons, and the string of cranes are the garlands. These forests delight the eye all the more in the afternoons with green carpets of emerald grass, luxuriant after the rains, with peacocks that dance about gaily with outspread wings, and with the ceaseless downpour of the clouds. The clouds are big with welcome rains and trudge on slowly and painfully, stopping to rest now and then on the mountain peaks and sighing and complaining loudly of the lot. Behold the long lines of cranes as they fly towards the clouds in anxious expectation of being impregnated, even as if they were the garlands of white lotuses round the shoulders of the sky, blown about by fierce gales. The earth is carpeted with soft grass, encrusted with the bright Indragopa worms, like damsel clad in garments of parrot hue, dotted with lac. Lord Narayana begins his yogic slumbers in the month of Ashada and is sound asleep in Shravana. Rivers rush towards the ocean, cranes approach the clouds in joy, and passionate women fly to the side of their lovers. Peacocks dance gaily in the woods. Kadamba trees are crowned with flowers. Bulls sport themselves with lusty cows. The earth laughs in luxuriance of plant and herb. Rivers rise higher and higher. Clouds send a ceaseless downpour. Elephants in rut trumpet and blare. Woods put forth a wonderful growth. Lovers pine and grieve who are unable to reach the side of the beloved. Peacocks strut proudly. Monkeys are delighted to find that they need not wander about for their food now that Sugriva has come to the throne. Lordly elephants drink in the fragrance of the Ketiki petals, and incited by the roar of the cataracts on the mountain slopes, add their startled cries to those of the peacocks. Bees abandon the lotus stalks submerged in the heavy rains and hang along the tree boughs, drinking off the honey that flows therefrom and as often throwing off its subtle intoxication. The jambu trees with their smooth, glossy black fruits that look as if they are made of charcoal deceive us into the idea that they are covered by thirsty bees. The mad elephant, tearing its solitary way through the forests, catches the rumble of the clouds and, taking it for its rival's challenge, rushes forth to offer it battle. The hum of the bees, the dance of the peacocks, and the revels of maddened elephants make us fancy that the woods sing and dance and reel in sheer intoxication all around. Flowers, buds, and shoots deck the forest glades. The fresh rains gather here and there into countless pools, and on their banks dance maddened peacocks. Verily, it recalls to us the tavern and the drinking saloon, with its casks and jugs and decanters brimming over with foaming wines, and with their boisterous revelers that shout and dance in drunken glee. Chatika is a varied plume, joyfully drink of the pearly raindrops that fall on the leaves. The sweet hum of the bees may well be taken for the melody drawn from the veena and other instruments of music. The croak of the frogs resembles the complicated varieties of time measures as they are expressed in appropriate syllables. The rumble of the clouds puts us in mind of the sounds produced by the mridanga. At a distance, one might almost fancy that the woods are having an elaborate concert. Some peacocks dance, some peacocks sing, and others sit upon trees in senatorial dignity with spread feathers and critically enjoy the music. Frogs are roused from their long sleep by the roars of the clouds and croak forth many a harsh note as they are lashed by the heavy downpour. The torrents in the rivers bring down the tottering banks and rush to the sea, carrying along the current chakravakas, fruits and flowers. Verily, one could picture it to himself as a passionate woman, grandly molded, who hurries on to meet her lover with fruits, flowers, perfumes, betel, and refreshments, forgetting to notice that her upper garments have fallen away from her. The cloud banks are piled upon one another like mountains blackened by forest fires. Mad elephants tear through the woods, paying little heed to the joyful cries of the peacocks, or the grassy swards where glimmer the indragopas or the heavy fragrance of flowers. The bees that were quietly imbibing the honey of the lotuses are driven by the arrowy showers to take refuge in the fresh kadamba blossoms. Elephants run mad, bulls sport in sheer joy, lions take a long spell of rest. Mountains are gaily decked with blown blossoms and shoots. Kings lay aside war, strife, and such unholy concerns, and Indra plays with the floodgates of the heavens. The clouds are drunk with the heavy draughts of water and reel along the sky with many a halt. They roar like the stormy billows and cause rivers, tanks, lakes, and wells to overflow. The rain falls straight and ceaselessly, thick as the trunk of elephants. Fierce gales tear along with thundering roar. Riverbanks topple down with a deafening crash and are borne along swiftly to the ocean. The winds bear aloft in cloudy pitchers the sacred waters sent down by Indra and pour it over the crowned heads of the mountains, which wax in splendor and beauty with their fruits and flowers, even like the lords of men who grow in luster, grace and joy when the myriad multitude join as one man to consecrate him as their lord and ruler. The starry sky is veiled over with clouds. The sun has retired to rest behind his filmy curtains. The parched earth quaffs deep draughts of fresh rains, and the quarters are dark and lusterless. Mountains are lashed with incessant rains. Cataracts and torrents rush down madly along the slopes as though they were pearl necklaces. The raging waters tear along their narrow beds and fall with thundering roar on the rocks far below and are shattered to pieces. Then they fill huge mountain caves where echo the cries of the peacocks. It looks as if garlands of varied hue are shedding their flowers on all sides. The strong gales carry the heavy downpour everywhere and seem as if they were the damsels of Swarga, whose necklets are broken during the celebration of love's mysteries and scatter the pearls all about. Sunsets are only to be inferred by the flight of birds towards their nests, by the closing of lotuses for the night and the blossoming of the jaji. Kings have laid aside their warlike gear and their military forces are coming back. Roads and paths are impassable by the rains, and rulers have forgotten for a while their hatreds. It is now the month of Bhadrapada, where the Samavedins begin their annual Vedic studies. I ween that Bharata would now put away all cares of state and set about to observe the 4 months' vow, having laid in an ample stock of the necessary articles. The rising waters of the Saryu would rave and moan as the citizens raved and lamented when I passed through the gates of Ayodhya to the dark forests. Sugriva has a happy time of it during these rains and enjoyment of a peaceful reign and a long lost wife. But ah me, I am an exile from a kingdom. The wife of my heart has been torn away from my arms. My foe lives to gloat over my misery. And like crumbling riverbanks, I am worn with care and anxiety. Alas, this rainy season grows and grows. Ravana is no ordinary foe, and my misery knows no end. The roads are impassable. Kings do not undertake any warlike expeditions now. And I would not have Sugriva start on his quest for Sita, entreat he ever so much. Poor man, he has been the sport and victim of adversity and danger too long. It is an age since he had a roof over his head or a wife to cheer his heart. He has come back to his own, but just now. My affairs admits of no short or easy execution, and I would be the last man to trouble him with it now, as if it were of supreme importance and urgency. I would not doubt that he would give himself a little rest and hasten to fulfill his promise to me when the autumn comes around. So I await the moment when the floods subside, as Sugriva feels inclined to bestir himself. A hero and warrior was never guilty of ingratitude, for he would come under the stern judgment of the good and the great. Lakshmana applauded the sentiments of his brother and replied, Noble Lord, Sugriva will not fail you. Pray busy yourself with the preparations for the coming campaign against the foe and wait patiently for autumn and clear skies. And therein spoke the optimistic heart of the son of Sumitra. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunavdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.